This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
We're so inundated by top 40 superstars that we sometimes forget that the music industry doesn't own music. Now there's an independent website and online community to help with that. Weird Canada showcases emerging musicians and artists from our own backyard. In 2011, it won the CBC Radio 3 Searchlight competition for best music site in Canada, and last year it got a major grant to start a distribution service for under-the-radar Canadian musicians. That service launched last month as Weird Distro. Marie LeBlanc-Flanagan is the executive director of Weird Canada, and she joins me this morning by phone from Toronto. Good morning, Marie.
Hello, good morning.
Now, first off, tell us more about Weird Canada. How did it begin?
Sure, yeah, I'd love to. It began as a music blog, just as a small music blog, a place online for people to celebrate, just a few people, a handful of people to celebrate physically released Canadian music, specifically emerging music or do-it-yourself music. And it came out of campus and community radio. Music directors were finding that they had some really special local music to share, and they wanted to share it with more people.
So what can listeners expect to find on the website?
Oh, all kinds of music, books, zines, theater pieces, how-to pieces, ideas pieces. It's really, like, since its beginnings, it's really grown into a celebration of all kinds of arts. And I'd say at this point, we're not really a music website anymore. We're more of a community.
So tell me more about the kind of musicians and artists that are featured on the site.
Sure, yeah. So usually it's people who are either in the beginning of their career or make experimental or strange enough music that they're perpetually in a beginning state of their career. So some specific people. So the first post ever to go up on Weird Canada was Sean Nicholas Savage, who is an Edmontonian. Some of the musicians who've kind of grown outside of us, grown beyond us, are musicians like Grimes or Mac DeMarco or Rich O'Coin or someone like that. Purity Ring. These are bands that started out in this emerging underground community and grew out into the world.
You described Weird Canada as more of almost more of a community than a website. Tell us about that. Who volunteers? What do they contribute? How does that all work?
Yeah. So about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer, I sat down with everybody and I said, what do you guys want to do? What do we want to do? Everyone in the community, what do we want to do? And so we made this mandate, which was to encourage, document, and connect creative expression across Canada. And we came up with a list of objectives. And one of the objectives was to better the way we treated writers and volunteers and to open up our doors to more people. So when we did that, when we opened up our doors, and made a volunteer form, made it very easy for people to get involved, people flowed in. So at this point, we have we went from around 12 people, three or four of which who were active, to a community of 350 people, most of which who are active. And they're all across Canada, and they help with all sorts of things. So there are about 60 people who help exclusively with translation, translating the content so it can be bilingual. There are people who help us with building databases of venues in Canada, record stores in Canada. There are people who help us. There are developers or coders who are helping us make an app, a free app for musicians to use to sell merch at their shows. People help us with lots of, like, big idea, big picture strategizing about how to be better community members, how to be more accessible and inclusive and empathetic to the community. People help with all sorts of things and from every province and territory in Canada.
Well, so it's super exciting. It sounds like the kind of community we've tried to create here at Co-op Radio. So it's so exciting to think of a new project like that, where people are especially working around a digital project where, you know, where there's a lot of potential in there to kind of create new ideas and new things and also new forms of community.
Yeah, well, you can definitely like see that we came out of campus and community radio. Like the connections, it's very obvious to me, at least, that our values and the way we operate comes out of that foundation. It's built out of that world.
Well, tell me about that, because I understand that Weird adheres to a set of values that really sets a community apart from other music blogs. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. It's been kind of an interesting journey deciding what that means to us. So in general, I have some personal values that I adhere to. One of openness, one of empathy and compassion. I really think that we would be better off if people would be more open about their struggles, more open about what they're doing, and more empathetic towards others. So Our values that we've kind of committed to, and we've committed to them publicly, you know, as part of the openness, is to create a space that is as inclusive as possible and that is self-aware, like that is saying, we are going to screw up, we're not going to do things right, and we see that there are some really major problems with the Canadian music industry, a lack of representation from women, a lack of representation from people of color, a lack of representation, and it's not as if there's no one, it's just that it's dominated, at least my community is dominated by white, straight, cis men from privileged, you know, money, like middle class backgrounds. And so for us, like, we like to think about that and just be aware of that and say it out loud, say it to the community, like, this is what it looks like. And to level the playing field, sometimes we're going to have to make some gestures towards communities that are underrepresented, and like geographical as well. Like, there are geographical boundaries that mean that it's a lot harder for someone who's in Dawson City to make experimental music than it is for someone who's in Toronto, who's surrounded by other people who are going to support them and venues that they can play in, you know, and communities to make them feel all right about what they're doing. So we are really committing to thinking about accessibility and inclusivity and openness and talking about it openly with our community when we make mistakes, because we do.
Well, the world needs more projects like these, obviously.
Oh, thanks.
Do you actually have a physical location? This is one thing I'm wondering as we're talking about this, because so much of this kind of activity is something that that might happen virtually. Is there a place where you meet to discuss these things?
Some people have meetups in their cities. Some Weird Canada volunteers arrange meetups or hangouts. Weird Canada headquarters moves with me. So it was in Edmonton when I was there. I was in Toronto for a while, and there was a whole floor. I got this amazing apartment in Toronto for a year, and there was a whole floor for putting on shows and having gatherings where we could talk about things. And now I'm in Waterloo. So that's where Weird Canada HQ is now, and that's where our new distro project is. I'm actually thinking about, and I don't know, I just started thinking about this 2 days ago, but taking all this music that we have for our new distro and making like Canada's smallest record store in the front landing of my house so that people could just come in and peruse it. I don't know. It's never been like an open to the public kind of headquarters, but it's also very open, you know, so it's not like a place that has office hours, but people come through a lot and musicians come through, stay the night, you know, listen to records with us and leave.
You've given me the perfect segue to my next question, which is, what is Weird Distro?
Oh, yes. Okay. So the Weird Distro came out of a long-standing problem. It wasn't like a flash of insight. It was an obvious problem to our community, and that is that we have amazing independent and DIY musicians making music all across Canada, and more every year as technology makes it easier for people to make music. And we have people who want to buy that music, and it's often physically released music. We have like a generation of people who love their iPods and love digital technology, love MP3 players in general, but also have a desire for things that are tangible and things that have tactile and nostalgic value. So there are all these people across Canada releasing, believe it or not, cassettes. I'm sure you know, cassettes, LPs, CDRs, and people who want to buy those things. And then we also have record stores who want to sell this emerging Canadian music, but don't want to deal with, you know, hundreds of DIY micro labels and musicians. And we also have the micro labels, so these tiny labors of love that people run after their day job, out of their home, releasing these cassettes and LPs. So what the Weird Distro does is it stands in between all these people and facilitates that process. It's like a giant multi-directional bridge or something. It's an online store that focuses exclusively on physically released music from emerging Canadian artists. We're not against digital, and we may offer that as a service in the future, but like, we designed it for physically released Canadian music, for people who aren't a good fit for CD Baby, and for people who want to sell music but don't want to sell it through Bandcamp, like don't want to have to become shipping experts. Bands are often on the road and on tour, and it's really hard for them, and it doesn't make any sense for them to have to be business people and shipping experts, you know, export and import merchandisers. So what we do is we get bands to send us, you know, a small number of their album, and then we sell it to record stores and to individuals from our distro.
Now, I understand that you had a number of launch gatherings across the country to celebrate the distro's opening. Tell me about that.
So one of the things that we thought about doing to celebrate this launch was having launch parties in every province and territory. We came very close. We got every province and 2 out of 3 territories. And we had these little amazing launch parties. So a Weird Canada volunteer from the community would be in charge of their launch party. They would organize it. They would be in control of a lot of it, because it's not a McDonald's that we're running, you know, like we very much wanted each one to be personal to each city, but for all of us to celebrate together, all in one day, to celebrate emerging Canadian music. I sent out some like small packages of t-shirts and pins and things, and they set up drop boxes so people could come in and drop off music for the distro, and just for everyone to be together in a moment and celebrating all across Canada. I don't think I even realized how magical it was going to be when I first started thinking about it. And it was so special. Like, it was just, like, to have these laptops and connecting, holding laptop to laptop and saying, PEI, say hi to none of it, was so fun. It was a live music performance component. And it was really, like, it was, each one was very different. In Calgary, they had tacos. They ordered tacos. And none of it, they had like a jam session where the bunch of musicians just got together and jammed. In the Yukon, the people were pretty new to the community, so they didn't really know anyone, but they set up a party anyways and did a performance for us all over an internet connection. So it was something special. I don't even know what it was. Like, it became its own thing. A lot of people, like, originally people talked about it as, like, a promotional thing. And I was kind of, I don't know, like, our community doesn't need promotions and marketing in the traditional sense, because everyone's so excited about what's being sold and no one's really profiting off of what's being sold. So we don't really need marketing. What we need is celebration, you know, and enjoyment.
Well, Maria, it's been fabulous talking to you. If you could see me here, I'm kind of smiling from ear to ear just to hear about this project. And it really is wonderful the way it combines community and creativity and a sense of values. And just really appreciate your telling us about it today.
Thanks so much for talking to me. You know, I get really excited, so sometimes I talk a little too much.
No, it's wonderful. It's such a treat. And we're starting our program today is focused on International Women's Day. It's March 8th, and we've got a lot of women coming in the studio to talk about things. So we prepared a special playlist for International Women's Day that draws on Weird Canada. And we're really looking forward to all that music this morning.
Wonderful. I can't wait. I know that the women volunteers of Weird Canada, when we first started out, it was mostly men, and now we're at parity. We're 50% women, and there are so many strong women all across Canada leading their music communities, and it's really exciting. Like, I feel like we have a lot to celebrate. Even though we have a long ways to go, I feel like we have a lot to celebrate today.
Well, it's been excellent talking with you. Take care.
Thanks so much.
I've been speaking with Marie LeBlanc-Flanagan. She's the executive director of Weird Canada. We've been speaking about the music website recently launched of a nonprofit online music distribution service called Weird Canada. And you can find Weird Canada at weirdcanada.com, and you can explore its new distro at distro.weirdcanada.com.